Hey, witches. Welcome back to another episode of Glow Girl. I'm your host, April Ekwilen, and I am wanting to start to play around with a few little ideas on this podcast and some things that I wanted to talk about to just kind of give some different information and maybe tell some stories and such. So I decided, since I have been traveling, that I would get into a little bit of folklore. So this week, we're going to talk a little bit about some folklore, particularly with a place that I got to spend a whole beautiful day at, which is Sleepy Hollow in New York. So like I had mentioned last week, I was in New Jersey visiting my in-laws, and my husband and I decided to take a little day trip over into Sleepy Hollow, which was just about like an hour and a half-ish away from where we were, to look around and to spend some time in one of the cemeteries that is there that I didn't get to spend a lot of time in when we were here back in September of last year. And when we were here last year and we kind of did our kind of like cemetery road trip visiting kind of vacation that we took, going into Sleepy Hollow was on the list. And we got there, but we didn't realize that the cemetery actually closed promptly at 4:30 p.m. in the afternoon. We got there at 3:30. And the place is rather big and it has a lot of stuff to see, and it's just absolutely beautiful to walk around. And I was there for a specific reason, wanted to see a specific gravesite, but I found it, but it didn't leave us much time. And I said, if we were ever back up and we had some time, that we were going to go. So that's what we did. So Sleepy Hollow, we all, you know, you hear about Sleepy Hollow, and immediately what comes to mind is the story of the Headless Horseman. So Washington Irving's story of the legend of Sleepy Hollow, you know, it's considered one of the country's oldest ghost stories. And basically, in a nutshell, you know, it's the story of Ichabod Crane, who, you know, one night left a party. It was in the fall. And, you know, he left this party and he was basically, you know, mad, upset because he was abandoned by a woman that he wanted to marry. And when he was on his way home, he met up with this, you know, cloaked man on horseback who apparently carried his head on his saddle, and this guy chased him and threw his, you know, his severed head at him, and Ichabod was never seen again. So that's a story in a nutshell. You know, not going to give you the whole complete Cliff's Notes version, but you know, that's the very, very, very short Cliff's Notes version. So, you know, when people think about, you know, Sleepy Hollow, they think about this story. I mean, when you go into town, it's like as soon as you hit the Sleepy Hollow limits, city limits, town limits, whatever, you know, you see pictures of it. Their middle school and high school, you know, the mascot is called the Horseman. And, you know, any little shop that you go into, you can find things that go, you know, have to do with the Headless Horseman. And it's awesome. And, you know, in the fall, especially around Halloween, this town is just a buzzing because, you know, they do ghost tours and, you know, Headless Horseman, you know, rides and things like that. So it's quite, you know, busy and known for that, especially in the fall. And in the summer, it's just, you know, this really quaint little town. And, you know, we got to spend the day there, but my purpose of going there was to go to the old Dutch church, and the cemetery that is there. And the reason I was going there is because there was a specific grave that I wanted to see. And that was of a woman known as Hulda. She was known as Hulda of Bohemia. And like I said, I went there last September looking for this grave, and it took us a while. I mean, mind you, we got there with an hour to spare, and I had no clue where in the cemetery that it was. So it was kind of like a scavenger hunt. We were able to back then bump into some groundskeepers and tried to explain to them what I was looking for and who I was looking for. And they had originally brought us way in the back of the cemetery because they thought that we meant this other gravesite, which was it was absolutely beautiful to see. It was actually this full-size statue of a woman in bronze just kind of seated on a bench in front of a mausoleum. But that wasn't it. It was something different. And when I explained to them and kind of showed them some pictures, they knew in the general area where I needed to go, which was actually up by the church. But they didn't know exactly in that space which headstone was hers. So the clock was ticking and we got up there and we were finally able to find her and spend some time at her gravesite. But like I said, you know, we didn't really have much time. They closed right at 4:30 p.m. So we were really, really rushed. And there were some things that I had forgotten to do. And I was, you know, kicking myself for it as we were driving back going, I need to get back there. And we ended up back there. You know, thank the gods that we ended up back there. And I was able to spend some more time and some more, you know, just taking it all in of where she was and taking in more of the actual cemetery. So when we were there, we were actually able to go around because, you know, like I've mentioned before, my husband is a very big geocacher, and geocaching has taken us to some amazing places. Well, while we were there, there was this geocache that took us around to all these different, you know, kind of like famous graves that are all around the cemetery. So we got a really nice walk and tour around the cemetery. And we actually went to where Washington Irving, the author of The Legend of Sleepy Hollow, is buried. So we got to go there and we got to see a bunch of other sites and just kind of take it all in. And then we got to, of course, spend more time at Hulda's grave. So with Hulda, you know, a lot of people are like, well, who is she? What, you know, what is your fascination with her? You know, why was it so important that I wanted to go back? Well, she was an immigrant from Bohemia, and she lived in the region in the late 1700s. And she was this older lady. And in fact, in The Legend of Sleepy Hollow, it is believed that the high German doctor that Washington Irving describes in the story, that that was supposed to be like her, like it was supposed to represent Hulda, because she was an herbalist. She lived in a cottage way out in the woods, away from people. So you guessed it. She was considered a witch. And, you know, she did basket weaving. She, like I said, she was an herbalist. She believed in herbal remedies. And because of, you know, just that, you know, think about the time frame that we're in and, you know, her knowledge of herbs and what they could do medicinally. And she also, you know, traded a lot with the native peoples who were there. It made the Dutch villagers that were in town very suspicious of her. And of course, gave to these rumors that she was a witch. So, you know, basically, you go through time and, you know, see, you know, the witch trials in Salem and all of that. You know, if you were different, if you did things differently, knew certain things, maybe kept to yourself like she did, tried to offer help and assistance and such, or had a skill that maybe other people didn't have, you were suspect. You were, labeled a witch or somebody, who couldn't be trusted. So the townsfolk would kind of like stay away from her. And even though that's all she wanted to do was help people. So, because she kind of kept to herself and was kind of on the outside of town, off in the woods in a cottage, we all hear the stories, the fairy tales, the whatnot, the local lore, the legends of, the witch in the woods, or, oh, that cottage out there is, a witch lives there because she's so far off. Well, there you go. There you have it. That's basically what these Dutch villagers did. And that's all she wanted to do was help. This was the time during, in these late 1700s, when the Revolutionary War was going on, that's all she wanted to do was help. And they wanted nothing to do with her help. They wanted to just go at it alone. So she has quite the story. And I want to get more into her story and what she did for the town of Sleepy Hollow. And I will do that in a minute. Let's take a quick break. I'll be right back. When Body Art Forms came about in 2001, it wasn't just a company. It was a chance for two sisters to do something they love and to do it in a way that made them proud of what they do. From the beginning, Body Art Forms was driven by three major factors. Strive to give the best customer service in the industry, and it shows with their 5-star reviews. Believe in careers, that's why all of their employees earn a living wage, and give to charities. They donate 20% of all profits to charitable causes. They are a small business that serves the pierced and modified community, and they have been doing this since 2001. At Body Art Forms can be found on all social media platforms, Instagram, TikTok, Facebook, and Pinterest. And you can check out their diverse selection at bodyartforms.com. That's BODYARTFORMS.com. Just enter the coupon code GLOWGIRL at checkout and get 15% off any purchase. And we're back. So let's talk more about Hulda and why I like her. So, like I said, she was this herbalist and just, wanted to help people. She wanted to help not only, with this war, this revolutionary war that was going on, but she wanted to help the people. And they were just super, super suspicious of her. And even though, she could have just, said, all right, fine, whatever, I'm not going to help you, and just kind of keep to herself out in her little cottage in the woods. But no, even though people were suspicious of her, she still left them baskets of herbal remedies and food provisions, and just kind of, just left them on their doorsteps and just went on with her business, because the people needed it. There was a lot going on during this time, and she saw a need. So she made up these remedies and gathered whatever provisions she could, and she would leave them on her neighbor's doorsteps. And they assumed, when they found them, that it was Hulda who was leaving them. So they just threw them away. They didn't use them because they were scared that, her remedies or the food and provisions that she was giving them was tainted, or it had to do with dark magic and she was trying to curse them or whatnot. So it's kind of, it's sad because, that's all she wanted to do was help, but that's all they saw was this stereotype and this belief that what she was doing equaled something, dark and sinister and of the devil and so on. And, thinking about people like her and me and everything throughout the ages, even still today, even though, yes, I call myself a witch and I am friends with a lot of people that call themselves, you know, witches, it's still something that is frowned upon today. It's something different and people are scared. And I still don't understand why you would be afraid of something that is trying to help. I mean, yeah, sure. There's people out there that practice, you know, dark magic, and that's perfectly fine. But, you know, I don't want to talk for everybody, but I like to help people. So if I can give them something that helps, just like, you know, like she was doing way back when, you know, I would hope that it would be taken, you know, with gratitude. But unfortunately, you know, just like back then, even today, people just are like, nope, I don't want it. It's evil. And like I've always said, you know, thinking like that is basically because people just don't understand. They don't understand what it is that, you know, they didn't understand what she was trying to do. And people don't understand like what I try to do. And sometimes you just can't change people's minds and you just have to go doing what you need to do in order to keep your journey going. And, you know, and that's what she was doing. She just wanted to help people. And she ended up helping in a way that cost her her life. And so like during the Revolutionary War, you know, she responded to this alarm that was going through, you know, Sleepy Hollow, because these British troops were crossing through the town. And she decided to pick up her rifle and go out and help, even though, you know, the townspeople didn't want her help. She's like, you know, no, I live here. This is my town. I care about the people here. I care about, you know, what's going on. So I'm going to go out and fight. And she did. And she took out several British soldiers, but she was shot and she died. And the townsfolk were like, whoa, wait a second. Here is this woman who basically just gave her life for our town. And we've treated her, you know, pretty poorly. And that's all she wanted to do was take care of us. And so what had happened after that, they, you know, they brought her body back to her cottage, and they were kind of surprised. Inside, they discovered her Bible, and written in there, she basically put, you know, her will written in what little, you know, Dutch she could write in. And she willed what little money she had, what little gold she had, to the widows of the American Revolution. Some evil witch, huh? I don't think so. So to make up for, you know, how they had treated her, the townsfolk gave her a Christian burial. So, you know, you've read stories throughout history, you know, somebody who was, you know, called a witch or whatever, you know, they didn't get that. That was just against all things holy, but they gave her a Christian burial. But even though they gave her a Christian burial, you know, she's buried in a graveyard next to a church. She was given an unmarked grave. So, and it was in pretty much back then a pretty isolated area of the old Dutch burying ground. So even though they, you know, they felt a little bad, gave her a Christian burial, but they still didn't mark her grave. And because of that, you know, over the years, her story kept on going. Her story started to be talked about and celebrated even. And they even have a night in the town called Hulda's Night, where they do these lantern lit walking tours and tell stories about her. And it took until 2019 for her to be honored with a headstone. And the headstone is absolutely beautiful. It does look like the carvings and inscriptions on it does look like what you would find on headstones back, you know, when she died back in 1777. It's just, you know, you can obviously tell it's not old, not that old. It's made of, you know, modern materials. And she was finally honored that headstone. And the headstone reads, Hulda of Bohemia died 1777, herbalist, healer, patriot, felled by British while protecting the militia, buried here in gratitude for her sacrifice. So yeah, she took years and years and years later for her to get that, even though the townspeople, you know, agreed that, you know, she was this patriot. She basically gave up her life for that town. And it's kind of interesting to me. And her story just, you know, just kind of fascinated me. I didn't really know much about her and the folklore of her story. I had just happened to, when we were doing this, you know, the cemetery road trip, you know, last fall, I had just happened to find like the cemetery and information about her just scrolling through social media. You know, I'm on the Clock app, and I watch a lot of people who do stuff with cemeteries and such. And this came up, and it was just a quick little like 1 minute, not even, you know, video of her. And so I did a little research, and I'm like, you know what, I need to go there and see it for myself. And I'm so glad that I was able to go back and spend a little time there, not only, you know, walking the grounds of the entire cemetery and seeing some amazing and beautiful sights, but being able to spend some more time at her, you know, her graveside, and leaving some offerings to her. And even though, you know, I didn't grow up there, and I'm, you know, I wasn't made aware of her story until much, much later in life, you know, I thanked her, you know, for not only obviously, you know, giving her life for, you know, her town and such, but also for taking care of the townsfolk, even when they, you know, pretty much shunned her and, you know, basically thought she was something that she wasn't. I mean, who knows? Maybe she was, you know, a witch, but she definitely wasn't evil. She definitely wasn't doing any dark magic on anybody. She just wanted to help. And she wanted to help heal people with her herbal remedies, and she wanted to help the town that she grew to love. So, you know, it just makes you think and makes you look at things just a little bit differently. And I absolutely love, I love her story. So yeah, so I got to spend some time there. Like I said, I left her some offerings. I left her some crystals and some flowers that I brought, and I was able to get some dirt from, you know, around her headstone and, you know, around the area, so I can use it and use that energy of her as an herbalist and a healer, and use that in some workings to kind of, you know, pass that healing and that protectiveness along, because ultimately that's what she was doing. She was healing her town, and she was protecting it. She was protecting it until she died. And I think that's pretty amazing. So with that, I want to go into some more like folklore and, you know, maybe pick out some stories to do, you know, as episodes progress and everything. If there's anything that you guys want to hear about and or, you know, have me look into, you know, message me on social media, you know, I'm going to post some pictures of, you know, like her headstone in the area that we were at. And, you know, feel free to comment on there if you have anything that you want to know about, or maybe stories that you want to share. I absolutely love learning about different area, you know, folklore and legends and stories and such. So I definitely would want to hear it. So hit me up. So I almost forgot the card of the week. So temperance. Temperance is going to be our card of the week. So I just went into one of my tarot card apps. This is actually from the Everyday Witch Tarot, and temperance comes up. So this is all about balance and making sure that we keep striving for balance and keeping in mind that, you know, sometimes we like, you know, we kind of wobble a bit. Sometimes things in our life can maybe go off course a little bit, maybe be a little bit bumpy, maybe cause us to struggle just a bit, but we can definitely bring that balance back. All we need to do is, you know, make sure that we're, you know, first of all, take a deep breath and just go with the flow. Maybe we just kind of just go with whatever the day brings and, you know, maybe do a little self-care and make sure that we stay as calm and composed as we can, kind of ground ourselves, like root our energy in, and then move forward. Because in order to maintain that balance, we have to kind of have that ability to go with the flow, but also staying, you know, nice and rooted and nice and strong. You know, it's not easy, but it's not impossible. And, you know, this is another one of those, you don't have to be completely perfect. It's not about the perfection. It's just about keeping that balance in a way that works for us so we don't feel so overwhelmed. So there you have it. So this has been a production of Girls Girls Media, music by Breakmaster Cylinder. Don't forget to join the Girls Girls Community Facebook page if you are not already there. It is the best place to be on the internet, and you will be surrounded by all of your besties, and it is just absolutely amazing. So get there if you are not. So thank you again for joining me today. I hope you enjoyed learning a little bit of folklore, a little bit of information about Hulda and what she did. And I look forward to sharing more stories with you later on. Take care, witches. Blessed be.